These days, representation and diversity in the media has come on in leaps and bounds. There is loads of work still to do, but it is nice to see the spoils of some of that work coming to fruition. But not all differences are immediately visible. So Jenny Ireland is an author from Belfast who is using her own experience to write real life characters. And she joins me now. Jenny, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Good. It's so lovely to have you in. Will you tell me, first of all, and tell the listeners a bit about Juliet, the character in your new book, The First Move?
Yeah, Juliet is one of two main characters and she lives with inflammatory arthritis.
Yeah.
Like I do. She is very cynical about love because of this and she thinks girls like her do not get the big love stories, like in teen movies.
Yeah.
So she spends a lot of time online playing chess anonymously.
Yeah.
Where she meets the other main character.
Very good. Very good. I like, very modern. I love that. It's good. Like, and also you got all the Queen's Gambit, the nice Queen's Gambit stuff in there,
yes,
as well.
Exactly.
It's great.
Chess is cool.
Everybody, yeah. Suddenly chess is like the thing. Do you know much about chess? Do you play chess yourself?
I did over lockdown a wee bit.
Yeah.
I eventually learned because my husband would play a wee bit. So eventually
soaks
got me
in.
Into playing.
Yeah. Soaks in eventually. Tell me a bit about your own experience and why disability representation matters to you.
Well, I was diagnosed when I was 23.
Inflammatory arthritis. Is that right? Yeah. Okay.
And they're like, lots of different types of it. Mine's psoriatic, like psoriasis, the skin condition, but I only have the sort of joint swelling.
Okay.
And it started when I was 23. I think when I was at university, there were signs of it that I just wrote off as whatever.
Yeah.
But by the time I was back home and I was working in the solicitors, my knees started to swell and it was sort of a while before it was back and forth to doctors and trying to get a diagnosis and eventually I did get one. But my dad's a GP, so I think it wasn't a massive shock at the time.
Sure, yeah.
So I think the word must have been thrown about a couple of times. But yeah, it's just been a...
And did you find when you got your diagnosis, like, obviously you don't see people with... Like, you come in here this morning, there is no way for me to tell that you have inflammatory arthritis and you might be in pain and you might, you know, have a flare up or something like that. There's no way for me to tell that by looking at you. So do you see there was kind of very little representation of people like you and the stuff with your condition in anywhere, really?
That's it. I mean, and especially in children's literature, I think it's so important because I love my kids to grow up and read books with, you know, their peers with chronic illnesses and disabilities, because that's just normal. Like, so many people have chronic illnesses, invisible illnesses, illnesses as well. Can be like, oh, right, okay.
Yeah. And
that's what it's like.
People feel represented. And then also people who don't suffer can see, you know,
exactly
what it is. That's the importance of representation, of course. So did it change your life much? It must have changed your life when you got your diagnosis at kind of 23.
It did, because it was a matter of going through different medication and seeing what fits. The first one sort of made me feel sick and made my hair fall out and mouth ulcers like that. So you're changing that. And then when I had kids, actually when I was pregnant, it all went away. It was great.
Yeah.
And then after about 6 weeks after having the kids, it all flares up again.
I've heard that before, that like something like pregnancy for some, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's
the extra hormones or whatever it is. It's just you can kind of get a little break from your symptoms for like nine months or 10 months or whatever.
Yeah, and then you pay for it after.
Pay for it afterwards. Yeah, it's no such thing as a free lunch, I suppose. Why did you set the book in a teenager's kind of world rather than somebody maybe a bit older?
I think the thing I love about teenage fiction is just the emotions, because everything when you're a teenager is so intense.
Really, it's dramatic.
Like,
yes.
Oh, it's like one day you're top of the world and then like your crush doesn't say hi to you and you're like rock bottom. And like it's so emotional and so intense.
Yeah.
And like adding, it's hard enough being a teenager, then adding something extra.
Absolutely.
Like a chronic illness is just...
Completely.
So hard.
And one of those things where you, like, we were actually talking about it earlier with Anna and like motion sickness and stuff like that. We were talking about motion sickness earlier on, and she was saying like one of her experiences was on a school bus. You know, you have this desperate motion sickness. Suddenly you're puking in front of all your friends, and literally it's the most embarrassing time that that can possibly happen to you. So if you're a teenager and you're dealing with all the other stuff that teenagers deal with, to also have to deal with a chronic illness as well is huge at that time.
Absolutely. I was mortified on a daily basis as
Were
a teenager.
You really?
All about anything.
Really? Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, it was exactly the same. Still happens, but you know. Tell me about the love lives of people with disabilities and how they've been glossed over and ignored in the sort of few stories that they do even feature in.
Yeah, well, there don't seem to be that many books that have just a romance and just someone happens to have a disability.
Yeah.
It's like, that was when I was writing, I was really concerned. I didn't want to make it a disability book. It's not about her disability, but obviously it's a huge part of her life. Like,
yeah,
it is mine, but it's hard to balance it. It is, but it just needs to be the norm because they're just... Yeah.
Do you see a lot of things? I would notice this a bit where, like, I don't suffer from a chronic illness. I don't have any disabilities. I'm, you know, very lucky, very privileged, all of that. But you'd even at that, I suppose, being more aware or getting a growing awareness over years of your privilege as you know, somebody who doesn't suffer with a disability, when characters with disabilities show up, disability is a central part of always their story, and they're almost always side characters in TV, in films, in books and stuff like that. Is that something that was obviously something that you wanted to remedy?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It was definitely I just wanted, you know, her to have her love story. She's just a teenager who wants to fall in love.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to fall in love as a teenager every day.
Yeah.
And she just happens to have a disability. And at the beginning, she does think it defines her. But by the end, you know, it doesn't. It doesn't define me and it doesn't define her. She's just a
Absolutely.
Teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about your career before writing, because you weren't always a writer. What did you do?
No, I did law and French at university, and I was a paralegal for a couple of years.
Wow.
And the work was great, but like, I'm incredibly anxious, and it was not a career for an anxious person. Like, go to court and say this stuff in front of all these people. It just wasn't for me. So I left, and then I started a cupcake business for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Did that for a while and then got married, had kids, and that sort of took over the next few years.
Sure, yeah, of course.
And it wasn't actually until I had my second kid that I started writing. I think it was just madness from lack of sleep.
Really?
And just be like, I'm going to write a story.
Sometimes you need a bit of madness
Absolutely.
To kind of give you the push, don't you?
The whole thing's mad, like just... sitting there making stuff up, and I love it, but it's mad.
It's brilliant though, and to be able to find your outlet like that, and also to find like a story as well, people wait lifetimes for that. It's brilliant. But you're here now, you have a published book, you're chatting away on the radio. I know you said you were a bit nervous this morning when you came in, but like, not a bother to you. And if you've been in court, it's hardly court. Do you know what I mean? But you did write an awful lot before you got published. Was that kind of frustrating, or did it give you time to sort of hone the craft a little bit?
It did. I mean, from going from, you know, not writing at all, there's a lot to learn. And I did a couple of courses which helped me on my way, and then it was just, you know, sending it off to agents, and it was the constant no's.
Constant rejection, yeah.
Eventually I sort of just became kind of numb to it. I was just like, I'd just say no to the email and delete it, and then move on and send it to somebody else and keep going.
It makes you resilient, I'd say, probably, or it builds up a resilience to kind of like, if you get told no a lot,
definitely.
It's even better when you get told yes, then.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're not, it's for like a million different reasons they're rejecting you. They're not rejecting you as a person.
Yeah.
It's just the work at the time.
Yeah.
For them, so.
Yeah. Tell me this. Oh, actually, there's a text here. Somebody texted in and said, my daughter has the swelling arthritis in her knee. It started at 15. She said there's zero awareness about this autoimmune disease, and very well done to Jenny for bringing awareness to it. Someone else said as well, I love the idea of young people and adults being able to find main characters that resemble their life experience and diversity. I'm a wheelchair user. I love when I uncover a character in a book that has really well thought out character development about the fact that they are in a wheelchair from part of the story. I'm not defined by my chair. It's what allows me to be independent. There's lovely messages coming in here.
I love that so much.
What would you say off the back of that then to someone who is listening now and might want to become a writer? And you talked about the kind of being told no a couple of times and then, you know, finally getting the yes that you wanted and that. Would you have any advice? You mentioned courses there and stuff mm-hmm. that you went on. Did they help you?
They helped me at the beginning because I did one really early on and it was the confidence it gave me because yeah. I had a tutor and she said, look, you can write. And that I didn't have a clue before that. So with me, yeah. it was confidence that I needed.
Okay.
Like, you don't have to do courses. I just say, keep going. And everything at the beginning's probably going to be rubbish, as it was with me. But it gets better. And yeah. you learn so much by reading and just writing and yeah. finding a little group to share work with.
Brilliant. Jenny, it's so brilliant to have you in, and I'm so delighted that, you know, you're able to be here in person and stuff as well. That is Jenny Ireland. The new book, The First Move, hits the shelves next week. Jenny, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
really,
you.
Really appreciate the chat this morning.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.